Whenever I start a new project or even something as simple as, you know, getting a worship service put together, I always start off with a plan A. Usually what happens is plan G or H or something farther down the line. Because it's inevitable. Somewhere between the conception of the plan and its implementation, something is going to happen. Something is going to change. Sometimes it could have been foreseen if I spent a little bit more time planning, doing a little more research. I should have known that this was going to happen. Oftentimes, it's other people and their needs and their desires and their thoughts change the plan a little bit. And I've learned that this is one of my anger triggers, to have my plan thwarted, so to speak. So I'm working on that one. But I have to marvel at Mary's reaction to having her plans altered. She was pledged to be married to Joseph. Yes, he was a descendant of David, but he was just, you know, a blue-collar man, working class from Nazareth. Like many in her village, she was probably looking forward to a very simple life. No excitement, no intrigues, nothing like that. Not looking for wealth or prestige or power or her 15 minutes in the spotlight. And then Gabriel shows up. And all the plans get changed. Greetings, you who are highly favored. What's that supposed to mean? Mary's wondering. What do you want? Why are you here? What's going on? And Mary was troubled, our text says, wondering, is this good news or is this bad news? It's not every day an archangel shows up on your front lawn. So, of course, everything she had thought was going to happen, was going to be different. You have found favor with God. Of all the women in the world, God has chosen you, Mary. And of course, the obvious question we would think would be going through Mary's mind is, why me? Do we ever ask why is this happening to me? You will be with child and will give him the name Jesus. And Matthew is the one who tells us why the name was to be Jesus, Yeshua, the one who saves. That will be his name. He will be called Son of the Most High. He will be God himself, but taking on flesh and blood, just like the rest of us. He will reign on the throne of David forever. He is the Messiah you've been waiting for these last 1,000 years or so. Actually, going all the way back to Adam and Eve and that very first promise that one would come to crush the serpent's head. His kingdom will never end. So you want to stay out of politics, Mary? Well, it ain't gonna work out that way. How can this be? This is impossible, Gabriel. I haven't been with a man yet. Well, this will be the work of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Most High shall overshadow you. I find it interesting that, you know, when we think of the birth of Jesus and the incarnation, we usually focus on the second person of the Trinity. But Gabriel makes it clear that all three persons of the Trinity have a hand in this. The power of the Most High, the Father, is going to overshadow you. The Holy Spirit is going to conceive this child. And since we hold that life begins at conception, of course, Jesus was part of that too. So all three parts of the Trinity are there. If you don't believe this can happen, take a look at your cousin Elizabeth. If God can make a barren woman who is now in her sixth month able to have a child, he can certainly do this for you. For nothing is impossible with God, even if it seems that way at first. So Gabriel delivers this great plan of God to Mary, and filled with faith and humility, she responds, "I am the Lord's handmaiden. May it be unto me as you have said." And then we really have to get into the nuts and bolts of this plan. Just because God has a plan doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, right? How many times does God ask us to do something difficult? Or God asks us to do something that at first seems relatively easy, but then our own sinful flesh, the world, or Satan comes along and says, that ain't going to happen. Look at last night. Were we planning on 14 inches of snow when we set up the living nativity? Were we expecting bone-chilling cold last night? No. But did that change the plan to make known to our community what this season is all about? Not at all. The plan did change a bit. I mean, we didn't do it quite the way we first imagined we were going to do it. But by pooling our talents and our time and our resources, we managed to get a living nativity, which even without the animals, I feel was one of the best we've ever done. And I think a lot of the people driving through saw that as well. We didn't plan on COVID and shutdowns and all sorts of other things happening. And yet, God makes it possible for us to continue his work, even with whatever the world throws at us. The same happened to Mary. Look at how God's plan played out. Wasn't a very easy plan. I mean, giving birth to a king who was going to rule over all the nations was not exactly something the Romans would have been very happy to hear, right? And their puppet king Herod, we all know his reaction to hearing that a new king of the Jews had been born. They were going to have to undertake the journey to Bethlehem. And we were trying to figure that out, Mary and I, as we were walking with the donkey last night. How long would it have taken Mary to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem? And it turns out that at a pregnant woman's walking pace or at a donkey's walking pace, it would have taken them, provided they stopped fairly often and rested frequently, probably would have taken them about 3 or 4 weeks. Just about the same amount of time in Advent. Interesting. But of course, that's a tough journey. And even after they get there, now they've made it to the city of David. Now the Messiah can be born where he was prophesied to be born. But there's no room in the inn. There's nowhere to have this baby. The guest house or the guest room of wherever they were planning to stay was already booked with others from the census. So they find a stable, change of plans, but yet God's plan still happens. We don't hear very much about what happened after she gave birth. How long did she have to rest and recover before the shepherds break in, talking about this angel that they just saw and all that? She's certainly not getting the quiet hours or whatever at the maternity ward that we have today. After them come these three kings from the east with these really weird gifts of gold and myrrh and frankincense. And what's that all about? That wasn't part of the plan, at least not as she was thinking. We'll look at that when we get to Epiphany. And then Herod's after this child. So we're going to take a 3 or 4 year trip to Egypt until the danger has passed. And that boy would grow up and seem to care more about his mission than his mother. Although there was that time on the cross where he looked down to John and said, "Behold your mother." And he was certainly taking care of her, but not in the way that she expected. When they brought him to present him at the temple and to do the circumcision and to fulfill all the matters of the law, Simeon reminds her, "A sword will pierce your own heart." She looks at her son being crucified for the sins of mankind. This isn't going according to plan. This isn't how I imagined it working out. But does Mary get angry? Does she say, "Why, O Lord, why is this happening?" She simply says, "I am the Lord's handmaid. Let it be unto me even as you have said." At the time of Gabriel's visit, there's no way she could have known all of the things that would happen. She just humbly accepts, "Okay, God, you've got a plan. I don't know the details. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I trust that you're going to make it happen." I find the interesting thing in Luke is she never tells Joseph she's pregnant. If you read the verses right after our text, she immediately gets up and goes to visit Elizabeth. And she doesn't arrive back in Nazareth until 3 months later, once the baby bumps start showing. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that conversation. How did she tell Joseph about all that was happening? Matthew gives us a little bit of an insight, but not much. This certainly wasn't Joseph's plan for taking Mary as his wife. But yet, look at how God has blessed that plan. As we look at our own plans, how many of you have made plans for Christmas? You have some idea of how Christmas is going to work. You know, we're going to get up, we're going to start a fresh pot of coffee, we're going to tear through the stockings, have some breakfast, open presents, then have a big whatever kind of dinner. What if that plan got interrupted? What if that was no longer the plan? What would you say? What would you do? Would you be like Mary and simply say, okay? Your plan, God, means more than my plan. So a lot of times God has a plan for us, but we get in his way. God's plan seems too extreme or too difficult, or oftentimes it's just too simple. It can't be that easy, God. And God has to remind us in many and various ways, yeah, it really is. Don't worry about how hard it may seem, because with God, nothing is impossible. Or we may start out with God's plan, but then we interject our own hopes and fears and desires and everything else, and sin gets in there and starts to mess with the plan. I wonder if we can't be more like Mary. Not really knowing how it's going to work out, but saying, I trust you, God. You are God, I am not. I'll do it your way. I will follow your plan, even if I don't understand. That's probably the best way for us to be. He has kept all of his promises in the past. His plan of salvation is exactly how he designed it. He sent us a savior, even though we weren't expecting his very son or the king of all kings to be laid in a manger. He rescued us from our enemies, not the Romans, not poverty, not being a social outcast, but our real enemies, sin, death, and Satan, even though we may have been thinking of a different rescue plan. We certainly weren't expecting the cross as the means of deliverance. Would have made more sense to us if he had called down those 12 legions of angels and routed the Romans and set up a worldly kingdom as many were expecting. But God is faithful in keeping his plan and his promises. So may it be unto us, even as he has said. Follow the word, even if we don't understand the details. That's part of what worship is about. We come week after week, kind of for a mission briefing, to talk about what are we to do, how are we to do it, to get our marching orders for Monday through Saturday. Here's the plan. Now, will we simply follow that? Will we trust that, as Paul said, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? As you follow God's plan, may the peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, till we come to life everlasting.